Welcome. You're listening to the Internet Advisor Podcast with your co-hosts, Gary Baker, Foster Brown, and their team of experts. Since 1998, this program has been helping people like you with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources and programs, and promoting tech businesses in our area. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour radio program heard weekly on WJR 760 AM in Detroit and across the state on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, co-host for the program, and we have a studio full of people here today to talk about all things Microsoft. A couple of things that have come through the pipeline. We're talking about the Microsoft Surface Pro 3. We have one in studio here, and everybody's kind of got their hands on it, play with it. We'll also be talking about the brand new software coming out for the Windows phones, and we'll be talking about an anti-piracy program that Microsoft has going. That and much more coming up here on the Internet Advisor. We might say your usual group of suspects are in here, minus one very proud father. Gary Baker is out right now watching his son, Justin, as he's playing in a very important lacrosse game. So we will concede that to him. He gets to get out there, be on the sidelines cheering for his son, who is kind of the Pavel Datsyuk of the local lacrosse leagues.
I hope he gets sunburned.
Oh, dear. No. Can't say that. Now, Ed Rudell, another proud father, chiming in there.
Yes.
We also have with us Shane. Thank you for being here. It's good to have you with us.
No, you had it right. You had it right.
I did. All of a sudden, I sounded distant.
I'm keeping his seat warm.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll keep Gary's seat warm for him.
Good to have you back. By the way, Shane, you and I share one thing that we've been doing over the last few months, and that's using the Surface.
Yeah.
You're using the original Surface.
I am the original.
And then I was using the Surface 2.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking about the latest Surface with somebody else who's in studio with us.
Don't know if he's going to get out of here alive. Yes.
I don't know. You're a pretty big guy.
He managed it. That's Jerry Carlson. Jerry, thank you so much for being in here.
I'm glad to be here, Foster.
And also bringing your toys with you.
Yes. Whee!
You managed to get that from the office, huh?
Yes.
Are they in the stores now? Just quickly. Are they officially in stores?
Officially today, you can go into any one of our stores, one in the Somerset and one in 12 Oaks, and play around with them. They will be delivered on June 20th for anybody that pre-ordered it.
Okay.
You can go in and play around with it today.
So we're basically, now here's what we're talking about, folks, and we'll be talking about this in more detail later on, and that is the Microsoft Surface Pro 3, which is the 13-inch?
12-inch.
12-inch. 12-inch. What should we call it now? 2-in-1. It's a tablet, but it's not a tablet. It's a laptop, but people are fighting over this thing. What do we call it?
You know, Foster, I think that we came out and we introduced it, and we said, this is the tablet / PC that could replace both of those for you. Right. So a lot of people are carrying around a laptop and some kind of a tablet, whether it be iPad, Android, or whatever. And we said, hey, now this tablet is the one that replaces those two. So I call it a device, you know, that can replace those two. You want to call it a PC?
Just call it a Surface.
There you go.
Marketing in your
future. I love it. Yeah. You get 10 points on that for the marketing department. Yeah. But it's true. And that is what the Surface is trying to fill.
Right.
That place between.
You say Surface, the first thing you think of, that.
Yes.
You don't think
yes.
of anything else but that.
Right. Yeah. And one of the things cool about this, and we'll talk about it again, is the pen that comes with it. It's quite a device.
Yeah, the pen is really nice and everything. Here's how I view this thing. In the Surface Pro 3, let's just say that today with the Surface Pro 3, you really don't have to compromise anymore. Let's say before you had to compromise on maybe portability and power.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You didn't have much power. You had more portability. And also, I believe, it's maybe my opinion, but I believe now you don't have to compromise style against compatibility.
Right.
So even for the Surface 1 that you're using over there, it was very thin, very stylish, very mobile, portable and everything, but it didn't run all your Windows 7 apps.
No.
Right? This one brought both of those together.
And Jerry, you mentioned that point, having for 6 months now used the Surface 2, I loved it. As a matter of fact, I'm having jitters right now, withdrawal. But one of the things that I did notice was the more I used it, the more I tried to use it more seriously, because it had the keyboard there, everything, and I would run into more problems than with
certain Windows programs not being available to me, or not being, or I go onto the store and I download something and it says, you can't run that on that machine. And I think it's because I was trying to push it further.
Right.
And it was because I was spending more time on it. It was more so effective. Let me introduce the other person who's with you. As a matter of fact, I'll let you introduce him since he's your compadre who came in here with you from Microsoft.
This is my partner in crime, Jeff Garnay. And basically, I call him Ninja 2.0 because he's way better than I am, man. He's a smart dude right here.
Nice to have you with us, Jeff.
Thank you.
What is it that you do at Microsoft?
So I work with commercial customers in the Michigan and Ohio area, supporting them on adoption for tablets in their space. And there's been growing adoption for Windows 8 in the larger corporate customer space, and it's been exciting. So introducing not only the Microsoft products, but also our other large OEM products as well, yeah.
So Jerry is the one, he has the bag with all the goodies in them, and then once he leaves, he's got people kind of drooling, then you sit down with him and work out the practical details.
That's right.
That's correct. Management, imaging support.
I'm the opening pitcher, he's the closer.
Yeah, I'm the reliever.
All right, well, it's good to have you with us here in studio. Thank you so much for being with us. And, of course, Cal Carson's here, representing the... I don't even call him the dark side anymore. It's Apple.
You know, it's like being a redheaded stepchild, you know? But it's still a lot of fun to be part of the family, that sort of thing. It's great. You know, Ed, you made a great point, and that is just call it the Surface. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that's a great point is that rather than try and say it's this, it's that, you know, and try and define its space, when it really... its space is the Surface, and the Surface does what it does.
Right, and then there's going to come a point in their future, like the iPad, where everyone will be starting to compare their products to the Surface, like other vendors were comparing it to the iPad.
Right.
You know, and I think that's where it's going to go. It's an excellent product.
I blame the tech writers.
As a matter of fact, if I was going to say anything, I would say to compare it to a tablet would be wrong anyway. It's it's a different class of internet appliance.
You know what? This reminds me of years ago when we were having wireless internet. I mean, for years we called it wireless networking until someone came up with the term of Wi-Fi. I mean, I remember having people from the Michigan MDOT here and they were talking about how all these Wi-Fi or how these wireless internet spots are going to be at these different locations. And I'm like, well, what type of sign are you going to have on the side of the road to let people know? Well, we're going to say wireless internet. And I says, aren't you going to have a symbol? And they just went right over their heads. It was only a few years later that it developed into that. People said Wi-Fi and a symbol was coming.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing's going to happen with the Surface.
Well, when we come back in just a minute, we're going to have Jerry and Jeff talk about some of the uniquenesses of this device and also about the Windows Phone technology coming out. And then both Cal and Ed have some reports to give. We'll get to that later on. A lively discussion going in the studio already. We always do. That's kind of. I wanted to keep the mics on during the breaks, right, Ed? And we'd have these.
I'm sorry, Foster. If you'd like us not to talk,
No. I want to record them.
It'll make for weird radio.
No,
hey, listen to the silence.
One of the things you're discussing, I think, and it's kind of interesting, is how do you present the Microsoft Surface Pro to enterprise? Who's the customer? Jerry, who do you think?
I think customers are coming into our camp a lot more than not because no one has a desktop anymore. You know, engineers and stuff, I can still see and everything like that. But everybody's migrated to some kind of a mobile device, if you call that a laptop or otherwise.
Right.
And I see all customers of ours now being more mobile, which means that sometimes they don't even have a desk at work anymore. They're just touching down there and going in Starbucks and at home or wherever. So the more portable mobile device you can get, iPads, Surfaces, whatever, they become more valuable to them because we're more on the go is what I'm saying. Right. So,
would you say that the Surface Pro is more of a business device than a consumer device? I mean, what's the price point on that rascal?
It starts at $799. Is the price point on the low end one? I would say it's probably true. I would say that if you wanted to be productive and actually create, like we were talking about, and get things done, the Surface Pro is probably in your wheelhouse. For the Surface, the one that my friend over here bought, it's probably more like a consumption device. It I kind of figured it as a tablet with a little PC skills.
Mm-hmm.
This one's more of a PC with some tablet skills, if you will.
Okay.
I know there's some intricacies there, but that's how I would put it in.
Somebody has said, what is your thought on this? Because it's part tablet as well. You can,
right.
Matter of fact, you were taking it apart, and folks, it's kind of interesting because you can turn this thing down, the start button, rather than being on the landscape view in the middle of the bottom, is now on the side. And which, by the way, from having handled the Surface, is a good place to have it. I know, but
sure. Yeah.
Because you're using your thumbs a lot with That's this thing right. anyway, which mm-hmm. is you find that with your Surface too.
Yeah,
you learn to use your thumbs a lot.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely use it more than just just a consumption device. I mean, a good example is my wife has an iPad, mm-hmm. and I hear her swearing upstairs all the time. You know, if she can't print something, she'll come down and use the Surface to print.
Prints?
Yeah. My wife does.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why she has an iPad. I mean, she still prints.
One of the things I'm curious, though, is the tablet kind of, I've heard, and I've seen, as a matter of fact, some sales statistics saying that the tablet is actually kind of phasing out. They're not really as, that was kind of like a wave. It was an in-between device in some ways.
Kind of like the netbook.
Yes, in some ways, yes, much like that. Yeah. Do you think that's true?
I don't know. I think it's still growing in popularity. I don't think it's diving, but I don't think it's growing at the rate it was. Yeah. I know at one point, rough millions were 15 million in a quarter or something. There was big numbers of a growth of that. But if you look at it now and everything, I think the category of a tablet was a companion device. Let's just call it a companion. It wasn't someone didn't run out there and say, this is it for me.
Yeah.
I don't have any other thing in my world. You know, they usually had desktops at home or whatever. Some people did transition to that.
Yeah.
If they were fully consumption type of people. Mm-hmm. They watched a lot of movies, whatever. It's perfect fit for there. And so, you know what I like to just – I back up one step. I ask myself, what's the job? If you ask yourself, what job is this trying to perform,
right.
then you can narrow in on the type of technology.
Absolutely, for me, I still and will always probably for the longest time still be a desktop user. And it's because that one thing that you can't get on a tablet or a laptop is a large, large screen.
Absolutely.
And multiple screens if you want to use them. I mean real multiple screens. You know, if you want to put 327 inches together, that's not going to happen with a laptop or a tablet.
And they're still not. And the biggest, you know, the people that buy the most of these gamers.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, there's no big powerful gaming card in there that's going to run, you know, the latest WildStar that's out or Elder Scrolls. I mean, it just doesn't happen. So I have to have a desktop.
I think the point that we probably could all agree on is that there is no one product that does it all.
Not yet. Right.
And what you do is you find the product that comes closest to taking care of all your needs or as much of your needs as possible within the price point that you can live at.
And speaking of price points, from my looking at, Jerry had to be a brochure with some of the price points on it, the i5. They have an i5, an i7, and an i3. The i3 is the bottom end. That would be a $799 device. But I think that if you're interested in doing a little more with the machine, i5 is probably where most people will land. The i7 is really high-end if you're doing, I'm going to guess, some video work, you know, working with extended spreadsheets or
you know,
we
announced
like
at our launch in New York, one of the heads of Adobe came out, and they gave a preview of a touch-friendly Adobe product, which was amazing and everything. So we've been working with them to do that, but that would be a good case for that.
For
that
the bigger end. But I'm looking at prices, Kel, as I look at this thing, like $1,299. If you throw the keyboard on there, you're looking probably about $1,400, roughly, I think. Roughly.
$130 for the keyboard, yeah.
Okay, so if you put that all together, I'm guessing that's right around a MacBook Air. Not a MacBook Air, pardon me. Yes,
you could
MacBook
do a MacBook
Air.
Pro for that price.
Right.
A MacBook Pro.
An
okay.
open, you know, a low-end MacBook Pro for
that's
that
right,
price,
yeah.
Of course, yeah.
But in a MacBook Air, it's kind of, I'm just trying to apples to apples.
You can do an Air for less than that.
You can do an Air, but I'm talking about with an i5.
8 gigs of memory.
8 gigs of memory with
256.
256.
Well, you
a
know,
solid
just for
state
fun
drive.
When I'm not doing anything, I'll check on the net.
but my point is, they're almost on a par, I think, in that sense.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. But like I said, you have to look at both of those pieces of equipment and say, does this piece do what
yeah,
I need
right.
to do?
And I want to hear you saying, Jerry, is that that's moving, and Jeff, you've been sitting there quietly, but I think this is what's moving into the, I'm going to guess, into enterprise more.
Yeah, what's interesting is the use cases that customers have, and Jerry brought up being mobile, right? So you have a lot of work, the workforce is always changing, and even in large customers here in the Michigan area, you have a lot of folks that are not just going into brick and mortar, they're working from home as well.
Yeah.
So that's important to have a device that will take you from home to work and work to home.
I want to talk about the pen.
Yeah.
Because the pen on this thing, I think is a remarkable, not just an add-on, but it gives a whole new dimension to what you can do with this. Talk a little bit about the pen and the pen itself is not just a pen.
Well, I think it's part of our conversation we had at the break and everything. It says, hey, what would you do with it in tablet mode? No keyboard or whatever. And I brought up that you would take notes. We actually designed it to have a really good note-taking experience. And so the pen, actually, it is nice. It's an Entrig pen, which is different than the Wacom pen, which is in the Surface Pro 2.
So for lay people, it would be what?
Okay, so for lay people, and if you go out to the internet, you'll start looking at all the conversations about it and everything. The Wacom pen was about 1,000 points of pressure.
Yeah,
that's 1024. Okay, so people have like 1,000. Sounds like a lot. This pen has much less, 250 range, and Jeff knows better. Anything.
Yeah.
But the point of all that is you can't focus on just sheer numbers and everything because this new pen is more accurate. So if you talked about you want accuracy or pressure points, they don't equal each other.
Right.
And we did a lot of work on doing the experience. And so you can't see on the radio, obviously, but simply by clicking the back of the pen like you would a regular pen.
Yeah, right.
It fires up a OneNote page.
And matter of fact, it turns the machine on, am I right?
Absolutely. Right.
It's amazing. It's, yeah. So it's more than just a simple drawing instrument. It also has other functions that go along with it as well.
Foster, I want a world where we eliminate paper. I mean, you walk into a meeting, click it on, just take notes on any device. But once you start having those notes, it's so hard to go back a day, a week, a year to find those notes. We need to start keeping them digitally.
Well, I don't want to get rid of paper. I want to keep one form of paper, and it is a note, but it's a treasury note.
All right. We'll keep that form.
Yeah, I had that issue today. I was going through my stack of papers and notes looking for something. It was just a nightmare.
Well, and it's interesting because Evernote for me has been an application, a software that really has gotten rid of so many pieces of paper.
Absolutely.
That I had shuffled around, and I went, "Where's the name of that person?" It was here, or their phone number.
Absolutely.
So this is part of the genius of this is that it is allowing you to, for instance, be sitting in a meeting, taking notes. You could draw on it, whatever.
Absolutely.
And that's all captured just as is.
Right. You know, I have a little fun thing. I have an ideas tab in mine, and I've been keeping it for 4 or 5 years now. And I write something down like, oh, that's a crazy, crazy idea. I write it down, and like 2 years later, I'll be like, serendipity kicks in. It connects to something else. I'm like, look at that. I can
somebody
find that
just
stuff.
Made $1 billion. It was sold to Google for that.
Yeah. I created WhatsApp. I'm just kidding.
All right, guys. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back in just a moment, we're going to be going out to the West Coast to talk with Don Morrison, who is Microsoft's anti-piracy head. And we're going to be talking about that campaign. And when we come back as well, we're going to be talking with Jerry and Jeff about the Windows Phone and a new software that's coming out for that. It is going to be, wow, just incredible. Welcome once again to the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown here, and a whole host of folks in studio with us. We're talking about Microsoft products today, and Jerry Carlson and Jeff Garnay are with us in studio. But along with those products, the get-your-hands-on kind of products, we're also going to be talking with Don Morrison, who is somebody from Microsoft who is involved in their anti-piracy program. And Don, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We've got some of your colleagues here in studio, along with a number of our other folks here. Don, first of all, what is the notion of anti-piracy program? What is it you're trying to stop happening, just to be clear for folks?
Sure, absolutely. Well, contrary to the image of Captain Phillips in the Straits of Hormuz, this is actually a digital piracy, and there is organized crime involved. And there are cybersecurity issues involved. And basically what it is it's two forms. It's the illegal duplication of the actual software itself, or it's the acquiring of unlicensed software at a diminished or no price.
Okay, so it's the one part of it is the duplication part, and I think for most of the people who are listening right now, that's not going to be an issue for most of them.
That's less of an issue.
That's less of an issue. But the use of unlicensed, how does that impact the day-to-day user of computers?
Well, the risk is primarily twofold. It's, first, it's how they acquire it through downloads. And what we're seeing is that if they go out and acquire it through an illegal website, 78% of peer-to-peer networks download tracking software, or spyware, or even malware. So it's a big risk if they acquire it that way.
Okay.
Second of all, the risk is that the acquisition of the software itself, it is not the experience that they're going to get from the vendor, whether it be Microsoft or another vendor, that they desire and anticipate. And there may not be a lot of security features involved mm-hmm. either.
Don, you've also, how do you deal with, maybe my colleagues here can count in, kind of chime in on this. I mean, we're of a generation where we understand the idea of you buy something, it has value. But I'm seeing more and more in some of the younger people that I talk to that the sense is, hey, if it's on the internet, it's got to be free. Why do I have to pay for it? It's out there. Just grab it and use it.
Sure.
I mean, there's this, yeah, no, in other words, there's a generational problem as well.
I think it spans generations. Certainly that is a perception out there that, you know, my daughters have as well. And, after mm-hmm. I have talked with them, they understand the issues. But I think there's a lot of folks who are just looking for good deals that are older as well. I would say it spans generations. I don't know what my colleagues in studio have to say.
See if you can muster some support here, Jerry.
Yay, I support you. Now, you know, it's interesting. It's not just technology and everything. Like, my daughter is 21 years old now, and, you know, something about movies. You
yes.
know, they're passing around movies, and yep. I'm telling her, I said, if you were the artist that created that thing, wouldn't you want to get paid? And, you know, she absolutely said yes, but naively, people are just giving them to her. She didn't even know she had to buy them. It's a generational thing.
I almost find it kind of, it's almost like they're scoffing at people who buy things,
right.
you know, for full price or something like that, which I find that a little unnerving.
Okay.
Cal?
Hey, Don, if I could ask you a question. I know organized crime and I understand why they do what they do, but when you talk to people that, you know, just download it, and they're not necessarily kids and stuff like that, the driving force is always economics, or what is the reason behind them, like, downloading it and then passing it on to other people?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. It used to be hacking. The old adage was hacking for fun and profit. The fun is gone, and it's all about profit these days. Very seldom do you have an exploit that's done on the internet where someone just goes out and says, this is what I did. And it's mostly now done for a profit. And mostly the folks that have the sophistication to be able to deal with that and to neutralize some of the very sophisticated security mechanisms a lot of enterprises have are going to be organized crime.
So now that the old ways of passing software around when you're pricing with floppy disk and CDs and stuff like that are pretty much gone to the wayside, how do they handle collecting the funds from these people legitimately, but yet funneling them through the process? So do they put up bogus websites that look like Microsoft or Adobe or any other software companies? How does that process all pan out nowadays?
Well, it's interesting. It's a variety of ways. You know, a very popular exploit right now is something called ransomware.
Oh, yeah.
And, what we'll do, they'll download fraudulent software that will have malware in it. And that malware, whether they've done something they shouldn't have or not, may contain ransomware that will lock up the hard drive and the files and access to them. And on the screen will come an image from the FBI in the U.S.'s case, from other mm-hmm. law enforcement in other countries. And they will demand that you send $40 or so, a small amount,
right.
Via PayPal or some other method to them, and then they'll release your files. Well, what usually happens is they don't release your
right.
files, and you're stuck with a worthless PC. Now, it's interesting. The reason they say they pick $40 is because that's really kind of below the FBI's threshold of interest.
But we've had listeners who've gotten caught on this and gotten caught badly on it. I want to ask a question. It's a little bit of an awkward question, but I mean, I'm seeing a trend in Microsoft. Tell me if I'm right in seeing this trend. Office used to cost an awful lot of money, $200-$300 to get the whole shooting match. And I'm seeing now, for instance, that Microsoft is moving to the subscription basis, which is,
yes.
to my mind, making it much more attractive. You know, $5 a month or $10 a month, I can handle, even though after X number of years I may have paid the same amount of money, but I'm getting all new software all the time when I do that. Is Microsoft in some ways moving to that in order to beat the problem of the piracy that goes on? Is that one of the ways of combating it?
No, that certainly is a great benefit of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the number one reason that Microsoft is doing anything is to provide the best computing experience possible for our customers, whether they be the consumers or enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that cloud-based solutions on a variety of platforms, even non-Microsoft platforms these days, is the best way to deliver that experience for Office. And I don't know, this is my guess.
It's also a way of combating that problem, I would imagine. Jerry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
If you look at our new leader, love the guy.
Satya Nadella.
His mantra is what? Cloud first, mobile first.
Yeah.
That is the direction of our company, and that we've been building that for the 14 years I've been here. Yeah. So if you look at that, whether it has effect on piracy or not, it's the way the world is moved.
It's kind of a neat thing that it's almost a secondary effect of that will be it's going to put a real crink into the whole piracy business, I would imagine.
Don, it's most of the piracy for profit being done offshore. I mean, back in the old days when Napster was around, you hear about some kid who got, you know, the record industry went to his house and they fined him, you know, $10,000 or his parents, that sort of thing. You don't hear those stories too much anymore. Is most of that being done offshore with the piracy?
Yeah, the predominant piracy is done by drug cartels in Mexico or Latin America, Eastern European gangs, Russian gangs. You'll see a lot of piracy coming from there, but you still see a lot of exploits hosted here locally. The Digital Crimes Unit at Microsoft tracks these down to the actual zip codes, and there are areas in the U.S. that are hotbeds. So the U.S. is still hosting a lot of the piracy, and it's a problem.
And the problem seems to be there as with the drug war. It's almost like the drug war wouldn't exist if we weren't the consumers. That's the problem. We're consuming it. We're consuming all that bogus and pirated software.
Now, here's one other crazy question. Is it piracy if someone sells someone a copy of Windows 95? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Because it is copyrighted software, but it's so far out of date nowadays. Yeah. I was just wondering.
Windows 95 is a great product in its day, but I don't know who'd pay for it right now. it's all a question of the end user license agreement that they have and, how many installs they have left. We aren't supporting that product right now, but let's say it was Windows 7 and they had a certain type of license agreement that allowed 3 installs, and they sold it to a friend of theirs, and that was the 4th install. Well, if that friend could try to activate that software, they get a non-genuine message off of it. You have to be careful even with that.
There was an interesting article that came up on CNET, and darned if I can't find the thing right now, but it was a problem with somebody who has a legitimate install of Windows 7 Home Premium and had been using it for 3 years, and suddenly the machine was coughing up this notice that says, this isn't genuine anymore. And I'm sure there are other people who are listening who have had this happen. How do you, in that case, establish, yes, I have a real one. I have it right here in my hand. How do you establish it, even if the machine is spitting back at you and saying, no, it's not real, you can't use this anymore?
Yeah, call Microsoft support immediately, and they'll be able to do some research for you. And, 9 times out of 10, they're going to want to deliver the best experience possible. So they'll look at the history, and they'll be able to talk with you about, how you've been using that software. And, they'll make every effort to resolve it.
Yeah, to make sure that you had a legitimate copy to start with. Don Morrison, thank you so much for being with us. Folks, we'll post on our homepage more so you can follow up on this as well. It's that time of the program to talk with Mike Brennan and to get some of the headlines from Michigan Technology News, MI Tech News. And by the way, you can find all about that by going to our Internet Advisor website, internetadvisor.net, and scrolling down, and you'll see that we have Mike's smiling face there and a subscribe button. Good afternoon, Mike. How are you doing?
Great. Now that summer has finally arrived, right?
And you're out there where you can hear the roar of the shore of the mighty Lake Michigan out the Grand Rapids way. Hey, Mike, let's dive into some of the headlines that you've got posted for this week. I see that venture capitalists have invested a record amount of money in Michigan companies.
Yeah, $120 million was invested in 40 companies, and that's the highest number of deals since they began tracking this information, and 111% increase over the last 5 years. So, we're coming out of the doldrums in a big way. Now, $120 million compared to California is nothing, but, I mean, for Michigan, it's great.
Oh, yeah, we're not going to sneeze that in our fair state. And what is this headline that says that Michigan Senate is criminalizing cyber revenge?
Yeah, it's posting sexually explicit images on the internet without the consent of the individual. You know, boy, bad boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, whatever. You know, people can do all these things to get back at whomever for whatever, but now it's criminalized. Now you have you can be fined $500 and put in jail for a maximum of 93 days, and second offense is even worse. So it's kind of an unusual thing, but apparently it was a big deal for the Michigan Senate.
So I can get back at my mother for posting those bathtub pictures of me when I was a kid.
That's it. That's
the
it.
Bear rug.
Yeah.
Wow. The bear rug, yeah.
Bear on the bear rug. Well, one of the things we haven't talked about yet here, but you've got a headline, is that Amazon this coming week is about to debut something. Now, you have smartphone down here, but I think they're being rather coy about this whole thing. You think it's a smartphone?
Something along those lines. I've been reading a lot about it. They've been releasing a lot of hints. They do have a press conference scheduled for June 18th, and so they're now thinking that that's possibly that it's going to be some kind of smartphone, but it's only a matter of time before they did it, right?
Yeah, so. I think so. Again, the idea of hooking people even deeper into their services. Jeff Bezos wants to make sure that you are hooked on Amazon. Hey, Mike, one of the things I thought of asking you today is, you know, folks, Michigan Technology News, MI Tech News, is an absolutely free service that comes to you when you subscribe, and you do that by going to internetadvisor.net and clicking on that subscribe button. But I was going to ask you, Mike, what kind of people do you think are the people who will subscribe to MI Tech News? Who are your common customers?
Well, certainly people involved in IT. I mean, we're kind of a trade publication in a way, so we're inside baseball for a lot of people. But it's also for anybody out there that wants to get plugged into what's happening in Michigan IT and entrepreneur stuff. I mean, I'm an entrepreneur. I signed my own paycheck, and not as big as I'd like, right? But anyway, I do that. And so we have a lot of news for and about entrepreneurs, and our sweet spot is technology entrepreneurs. But, I mean, we do a lot of things. You know, we provide good columns from our supporting folks like Warner Norcross and Judd and other folks like that. We have a lot of things going on, actually.
Yeah, Richard Steenan, as a matter of fact, our old friend Richard, has contributed things on cybersecurity as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, Richard's an old friend of mine. Did that book with him. So.
Right, exactly. So those are the kind of things, folks, that would make it perfect sense for you if you're interested in knowing more about what's going on in terms of entrepreneurship and opportunities here in the state of Michigan, as well as these other kind of inside baseball things about information technology in Michigan. This is the place to go, and it's absolutely free. For nothing, you get all these headlines and many more every Friday morning. It arrives at your email. And you can get that simply by going to internetadvisor.net, click on the subscribe button, and voila, there you are.
We don't want to forget to remind them that we also have podcasts.
That's right.
This particular segment, as well as all the other segments. Mm-hmm. So if they, you know, miss something or if they want to share it with their friends, we provide that.
It's an excellent way, by the way, yes, of having the podcast of our show delivered directly to you folks is by subscribing to MI Tech News. Hey, one last thing here I see, and maybe you can explain this to me. The EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency's Clean Power Plan, apparently is going to mean some big changes for Michigan, and people are concerned about it.
Well, we still get a lot of our general electricity from coal-fired plants. Mm-hmm. And they haven't been as clean as they probably should have been, but now they have to be even cleaner. They have to be equal to plants that are fired on natural gas, which is very clean. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be done by 2020, or it actually begins in 2020, but it's going to cost a lot of money to put these different technology devices on these coal plants to make them more efficient, where they're not putting out a lot of pollutants and things like that. So in that sense, that's a column from our, again, our friends at Warner Norcross and Judd. We're talking about that, and, you know, but, I mean, I think it's acceptable. They're talking about, you know, the cost of a gallon of milk a week would be the additional cost for you to be able to breathe clean air. I mean, what is that worth to you, right?
That's a lot. Mike, thank you so much. These are the kind of headlines, folks, you hear about, we're talking about, that are delivered to you every week with Michigan Technology News. Mike, thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of this summer day.
Thanks, Foster.
All right. That's Mr. Mike Brennan, who is the editor-in-chief of MI Tech News. Hey, guys, let's. I want to bring back, and by the way, mention to you, and I'm delighted to say, Jerry Carlson and Jeffrey Gunai, who are both from Microsoft, are going to be in here for our second hour, along with Shane and Ed and Cal. We're going to be answering your questions. So if you have a question about a particular device you have, Microsoft, we've got a lot of folks who are inside baseball on Microsoft for
you. We get so many people that call about Microsoft products, whether it be XP, Vista, 7, 8. Call in. I mean, the guys are here.
Exactly.
Ask your question.
And about, well, a little bit after the news, in about 10 minutes, your calls, we'll start taking your calls, but line up early if you want. 800-859-0957 is the number. Now, Jerry, I wanted to ask you, and Jeff, please feel free to chime in. I know, Shane, you've been using a Windows phone. I use the 1520, which is the big Nokia phone.
I've got the old school.
You got the old school.
But it's the Windows 8 phone, but
and
not the old.
Jeff, is that the 1520?
Yeah, that's the 1520 as well.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's talk about the software update that's coming right now, because if anybody out there has a Windows 8 phone, 8.1 phone, a huge change is coming right now. Talk about it, if you would, please.
Right. I'm going to talk about the differences, which really make it a lot better experience for me than it was the other 8.0 software and everything. One of the biggest ones is the Notification Center, which we didn't have before. So it's really a place now that all your notifications can be seen. You know, the iPhone and Androids, they have this kind of a mechanism, but now we added it into there, and it is really a nice experience to see all notifications in one place. Makes a difference. I like that a lot about it. I mean, there's little things to me, too, like there's different calendar views. There's a view of the week, day, month, year, and it's really nice to look at.
Speed dial is now there, finally.
Woo-hoo!
For anybody who has used Windows Phone, he used to tear my hair out. Why is there no speed dial? Boom, it's there now.
Absolutely. But my ultimate favorite thing on the entire phone is Cortana. It is our digital assistant. And let me tell you, we actually tried to make her real as possible. I know you say that it's computer and all that, but we went out and interviewed executive assistants. We said, what do you do? And so what we did is we programmed her to be as close to that as possible. We gave her a little notebook. Any executive assistant has a notebook on their boss that says, right. You like Chinese food? What's your favorite store? Whatever.
Yeah.
You fill in your notebook and she becomes even smarter. She reads your emails. Like today, I looked up here and I have a flight coming up. And
why don't you give us a demonstration good looking when we come back from the break? Show us how she works.
All right, we'll do that. That and one of the other things, too, we could talk more about this later on, is also called flow writing, which is like SwiftKey.
Yes.
I fell in love with that. I didn't understand it at first, but that's kind of where you just put your finger on the board and just fly back
when
and
forth. When we get back, Foster, there's a 15-year-old kid in Seattle. He broke the world record for the fastest input on that.
I saw that news. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. We're going to talk about this more, folks, because it's a huge, huge change in the software for Windows phones that really is making it much more competitive with the phones that are out there from the other big boys who are in the market. We're going to be back in just a minute after the news at the top of the hour with a very nice second hour. We got lots of folks here from Microsoft to help you out and our regular staff of experts. The number is 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor is on for another hour for you.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at www.internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, plus other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage and send us an email with the details. Don't forget to look for us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
It's hour number two of the Internet Advisor. That is your hour when you get to call with your questions. And we have some very special guests in here to help answer your questions. They're from Microsoft. We have Jerry Carlson, who is a device ninja. And then with him is a device ninja guide 2.0. That's Jeffrey Gunai. Along with Shane and Ed and Cal and myself, Foster Brown, we're here to answer your questions at 800-859-0957. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, by the way, Joe from Farmington Hills and Dennis from Bloomfield, you guys got the idea right. They're in line. They're all set. And we're going to get to them in just a little bit to answer their questions. And the only rule here is that dumb questions are the ones you don't ask. So please, please get on the phone and ask them. We've got some folks from Microsoft here to help with our questions. And our standard supply of warriors here, Shane Hamlin, good to have you in studio as well.
Thank you.
And Eddie Riddell.
You know, I don't consider myself a warrior.
Well, your cape. Your cape says it. Yeah. And Shane Hamlin's here as well. I'm sorry. I'm looking to the other side. Kel Carson is here as well.
You know, it's so hard to tell them apart.
Oh, my God. You know, it must be because Shane is so cute.
Oh, my. You guys, switch seats and I'm done. In any case, I want to say very quickly, both Ed and Cal have got some special reports about things that have happened this past week. Of course, Cal, obviously, WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference, that happened early. That was Apple announcing a couple of big things, and your full report is online. It's on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. Scroll down to the news, and you'll see Cal's full report on that. But two big things came out, not devices so much, but as operating system.
Yeah, because the Worldwide Developers Conference is more for developers, of course.
Well, I mean,
go figure. But on occasion, they'll talk about other things that may affect what consumers use and that sort of thing. And the two things that I got out of it was the new Mac OS 10.10, codename Yosemite.
That's a new next. Yeah.
Which is really funny because they decided to go from cats to places in California. And the guy was doing the presentation, and he says, when we were trying to pick out a name, we went to different places, and we went to Rancho Cucamonga, we went to San Diego. And there's a place in California called Weed.
Weed.
And he said for a long time there was a lot of calls. Let's go ahead and run with that. But they changed their mind and went with Yosemite. Some of the things in Yosemite that I saw that I really, really liked, one of them is SMS messaging. It used to be when you sent a message back and forth between Apple products, no problem at all. But if it came from outside of Apple iOS product, there was a problem with it. Now it accepts anything from Windows or Android through SMS messaging. So that's really cool.
Lots of cool things in that on that system. So Cal's got a full report on that, and we'll certainly be talking more about that.
Before we go any further, I got to talk about this one thing that I thought was the best of them all, and that was continuity.
Oh, yes.
And so what this does is that you're on your iPhone, and you're doing a mail message, and you're about halfway through it, and you go like, you know something, I think I'll finish it when I get home. You put the phone down, and when you get home and look on your Mac or your iPad, there's a little icon in the corner. You touch it, and you continue doing that mail message, finish it up, and then send it out.
Well, I thought it was really cool. It was phone calls. It's called continuity. Mm-hmm. So if, for instance, my iPhone is on a charger in another room, the phone will ring on my screen, on my MacBook.
And you
I can
answer
the phone on my MacBook. I don't have to go to the phone.
Wow.
I mean, it's really incredible. There's a lot of things coming out. iOS 8, which will be their mobile platform as well. I do want to do this kind of quickly because I want to make sure we get to our callers as quick as we can. Ed, you have a special report about something huge. Didn't get a lot of it, but it's huge. It's Computex.
Computex, and that's where a lot of vendors introduce individual little items that will make up all the gadgets that we get sometime in the future, either in the end products like laptops or that we're going to be seeing in the stores soon. Right. Some of the big ones were like 256 gigabyte flash drives. And SanDisk for cameras. I mean, huge.
And completely wireless computers.
Yes, completely wireless computers. There's an article in there. If you go to the Internet Advisor, click on the link about Computex. Another one is the more strides with wireless technology. So six antenna, 802.11ac products. So six antennas. I mean,
good grief.
That's a lot.
That's
in
your modem. You know, it looks like a porcupine.
And what's nice about it is for the homes that are slightly larger, there was a point in time where you had to put repeaters through your house.
Right.
You don't really need to do that with 802.11 AC because it's MIMO, multi-in, multi-out. Signals are bouncing all over the house, and you'll get dozens of signals arriving at the router and at your devices, and then the protocol basically reassembles them into a contiguous package. So transparently for you, you only have to have one hotspot in your house now.
Wow, it's amazing. So, all that coming out of Computex, kind of looking into crystal ball into what's coming down the pike in the future. Jerry, do you have that Cortana thing ready?
Yes.
Well, one of the things that with the new Windows operating system is the voice-activated assistant now, Siri on the Apple platform, now Cortana on the Windows platform, and we want to give you an example of what that's like. Go ahead.
I'm going to do two quick examples.
Okay.
One is more like a productive one that really does stuff, and one's a fun, so I'm going to do it real quick. Remind me to eat lunch tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Where would?
Okay. I'll remind you to eat lunch at 1 p.m. tomorrow. Is that right?
That's correct.
That's the voice of Cortana. Okay.
That's productivity.
Productivity. Hey, if I'm driving in the car one-handed,
for sure
to remind me. Next is, who's your daddy?
Technically speaking, that'd be Bill Gates. No big deal.
Some fun kind of things.
Yeah.
Same thing as we've heard with Siri, but now on the Windows platform with Windows Phone 8.1 and an update. Matter of fact,
I'm going to run the update later. They showed me how to do it on my standard Windows 8 phone.
Yeah, and yeah. Jeff, you have the Lumia 1520, which is the big phablet, and that was the one I was trying for a month. I had it on that. I loved it as well.
Yes, yeah, so it's working great. All the new features on it are excellent, and are we going to go through that now?
We'll talk about that in just a little bit
as
we go on.
One of the things I really liked about that was I could say, the next time I'm at the hardware store, pick up filters and some 3/4-inch nails.
Beautiful.
So that the next time I'm at one of my favorite hardware stores, I won't slap my forehead. It'll remind me.
It'll remind you. Cortana, we're there to save the day. All right, Joe from Farmington Hills, Dennis from Bloomfield, and you. We'll be back in just a moment to start taking your calls at 800-859-0957. Thank you so much, and now it's time to get to your calls. The young lady said it, 800-859-0957. Joe, thank you so much for waiting patiently there in Farmington Hills for us to get to you. How may we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Yes, I've got a router problem. I guess not a problem, but one that's probably evolved over time. It's a 2009 Linksys, and it has a fed by a 10-megabyte Brighthouse network. Now, I have the router such that it's faced out a window, and about 50 feet away I have an antenna that picks it up. It used to work great 4 or 5 years ago. Recently now, I still get 5 bars, and it drops off to 4 bars in the computer that I have the antenna in, and then I have a laptop, an Asus, that will drop down to 3 bars at worst. And the speed is usually around 36 MIPS, and that can drop down to 12. But what happens is during the early day, like from 8 to 12, it seems to run fine. When it starts to get into traffic in the afternoon, when I say traffic, I mean other people must be using the internet, I can't get on or it won't attach properly.
Wow.
Is there anything I can do? And I've tried putting a repeater in, and the repeater just didn't. I put 9 decibel antennas on it, trying to pick it up.
It's that old saying.
Go ahead.
I guess I don't understand how a router works in terms of if I got a nice strong signal and if I have a halfway decent speed, why doesn't the internet
work? Why does it keep on dropping down? Shane?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those blue and black old school Linksys routers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, I'm asking you. Is it one of those older ones?
It's a 2009 Linksys 160.
I mean... Okay. If you've got a weak, if the signal's weak to you, and how many bars? Are you getting a good?
I'll get 4 bars, 5 bars, and it still won't run on the internet.
So,
the internet won't come in.
Yeah, but one of the things you said is that it seemed to be based on time, like it worked at some points during the day is just fine, and others. So, I mean, if you were to hook a device directly into the back of your Linksys router, is your speed great at that point? Because what we want to diagnose here, are you running into radio frequency noise interference?
That's what I was
thinking. within the area of your house and outside your window?
There are nearby 2 hotels.
Well, that's my question. So if consistently you're losing internet speed at certain times of the day, take your computer, a laptop, and plug it directly into the back of the wireless router and see if your speeds improve. If they improve...
Oh, the back of the router? No, it will, because we've got a computer in there.
Okay.
So it's running off the same... It's fine.
So what you're running into is probably radio noise.
Yeah.
You're running into... you got all these other wireless devices.
RF.
You got cars. You got stuff. RF noise. Yep. So what you need is an updated wireless router.
Beg pardon?
600 milliwatt thing they have out now.
Let me back up for a second. And Cal, I don't think
you can get a 600 milliwatt. You'd have to get a license. 600, the largest.
Well,
I think you can own
600 MW. So I'm assuming that's milliwatt.
Jerry, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have to have a license of anything for a consumer product greater than 100 milliwatts. Is my understanding, but I might be wrong. So maybe how they're getting by is 100 milliwatts per antenna?
Let's back up because I think you actually gave an answer before, but Cal, you had a thought to share.
Well, the question I have is that Linksys router, have you gone to the Linksys website and make sure you had the latest firmware update attached to that router?
Yes.
Okay.
The other thing then I would suggest, and let me throw this in, Ed talked about it already when he was talking about Computex. There are routers out there that cost more than the $100 that they, for instance, this Linksys did, or about that, which have multiple antennas. They're MIMO, multi-in, multi-out, which means you've got a number of different options. Am I right, guys, that that would help with that, or am I wrong, Cal?
Well, even before he goes that far, he's got a five-year-old router. And, you know, God only knows, it may not even be broadcasting properly. The switch in it where he plugs in probably works fine, but maybe the broadcast quality is bad on it. I would just go over to Best Buy, pick me up a router, bring it in there, stick it in that particular place. If it increases it, you know the router is dead. If it doesn't, you can return it back to Best Buy and pursue some other avenues as far as trying to figure out what your problem is.
Right, because he said he's already purchased the larger antennas that are supposed to increase the, you know, the
yeah,
signal
but
strength.
The but
oh,
a large
a system in there with 2.9 decibel antennas on it, monster, big hunk.
Yeah, but larger antenna on something that's not broadcasting the signal in the first place is just a waste of time.
So you might be better off. You might be better off then in going after one of these devices that has the multiple antennas and is a newer model. Certainly, it's often been said that if you're having problems with the internet, one of your best investments is to get the best router you can afford. It's often been said that because you can have, if you will, a poor computer or whatever else, but if you've got that router and it is then giving you the best signal possible, you've got a better chance of accomplishing what you want on the internet. So take some of those thoughts, if you would, please, and go for it. Thanks so much, Joe, for being with us. We hope that we've helped a little bit here as we've made some of these suggestions to you. All right, let's go to Dennis in Bloomfield. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you, sir?
Hi, I was wondering about trying to text message from a computer to a cell phone, and if there's a, I know there's a way that you can hire a service to do that, but I'm interested to see if there's a way that you can do it for free from a PC or an Apple product where you can just go to a cell phone.
So text, you want to text from a computer to a telephone, Cal?
I thought correct. That if you address in the address field, I thought if you put in the phone number, let's say 1234567 8 at SprintPCS.com, the context of that will go to as a text message to the user.
Right. You know, certain vendors are like that, like Verizon. If I wanted to send a text message to my wife, I can use my email and put her phone number at VTech.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really cool. So the phone number, then the at symbol, and then whatever your service is.
Yeah, but you have to look it up. You have to Bing it or something like that. Each Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon, each of them has their own suffix.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, one of the things that Cal was talking about reporting on from WWDC is that with the new operating system from Apple, you will be able now finally to do that through SMS. Am I right?
Yeah, you can do it directly through SMS as opposed to
now it sounds like you could do whatever the system is, Cal.
So who's the carrier that you use? Is it
I use Verizon.
So it's Verizon. I think it's VText.net, I think. I'll have to look it up.
But you'll have to look that up. For the rest of the folks who are listening here, that's the way to do it, is to look up how you send text messages to phones through your particular carrier, whether it's Comcast, Verizon, Bright, whatever it happens to be.
So it looks like ultimately it looks like an email that you're sending?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So I mean, that's one way of doing it.
Outlook, and I put it in a text, and then I send it to a cell phone with whatever code for whatever provider I need.
Right. Sounds like that's the way to do it. Anybody know any other ones? I don't know.
Yeah, it is vtext.com. So
vtext.com. For Verizon. Okay.
I mean, there's tons.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, there's others. I mean, there's tons of websites that can do it and things like that. But, you know, along with that comes maybe some advertising.
Textem.net.
Yeah.
I just looked it up.
Text Today. I mean, there's tons of them.
What is it, Jerry?
TextEM. So TextEM.net. It says there's no charge to send it. Just check to make sure you don't charge the person receiving it. But it says you can send it free right from their website.
Okay. So it's TextEM.net. .net is another way of doing it.
Jerry, I'm going to send you one right now.
Do it. Text it. 10 cents a text.
And Cortana will say, Jerry, you have a message.
Jerry's busy right now.
I love it. One of the things that maddened me, by the way, Cal, with our current Apple system, and I, because I have a MacBook, is that I would try to send a message to somebody, and I could never tell whether the message was going to get through, because it was only if it was an iPhone, it would go through directly. If it wasn't, I would get this message that says, oh, sorry, you can't send that message out. So that's all going to stop now with the new system, right?
Yep.
It all goes then, it all becomes straightforward, the messages go through.
A message is a message.
A message is a message. That is wonderful. All right, folks, here's a phone number again, and we've got Harry in Port Huron, Warren in Chelsea, and Pat in Toledo. We're going to be taking your calls in just a moment. And for the rest of you, the phone number is 800-859-0957. Don't forget, we've got our two experts here from Microsoft. We want to put them to work, Jerry Carlson and Jeff Garnay. All right, give us a call. I want to thank the folks who are behind the glass helping us right now. Rich, thanks so much, our engineer. And Shannon is back there. Thank you. Shannon is also one of our engineers. She's filling in for Andy Nichols, who is not with us today.
It was like Queen's Wave, you know.
That royal.
Real wave, yes. Hello.
From hey, the Shannon Maley home this is for wayward...
Don't you go there. This is a week of anniversaries. You know the 70th anniversary of D-Day this week? Did you know that Tetris... one of the most popular games on the internet, is also 40 years old this week.
Wow.
Yep. And Edward Snowden's leak began a year ago. For those of you, depending on whether you consider him a hero or whatever else. But anyway, some interesting anniversaries coming up. We have with us in studio Jerry Carlson, who is a device ninja from Microsoft, and along with him is also Jeff Garnay, device ninja 2.0. You guys have been talking about Windows Phone, and
yes,
you each have had Windows Phones there. What's something new? We're going to be, matter of fact, talking in just a moment with Larry from Metamora about his Windows Phone.
But. Yep. So the one feature I wanted to bring up was Wi-Fi Sense, and basically what this does is we're all familiar with free Wi-Fi wherever you go, but you often have to go click and accept notice and so forth.
Yeah, yeah.
And with Wi-Fi Sense on the Windows Phone, you're able to actually set up to where it automatically does that for you. So wherever you're traveling with your phone, if there's free Wi-Fi in the area, it'll do its best to get connected to that without actually having to do any interaction yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So you can almost count on if there's free Wi-Fi in the area and it's close to it, you can hook up to that, right?
When I go into Starbucks and I have to accept that Google's given free Wi-Fi there, I don't ever want to see that again. So.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Amen.
It's a really nice feature.
There you go. Shane would agree with you wholeheartedly. Okay, let's go to Larry from Metamora. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. And I understand you have a Windows Phone question.
Actually, more of a comment. I had some issues. I've got a Nokia 521, bought it in January through Metro PCS, and I was having problems getting some updates, and this is just a resource for the listeners out there. Called Metro PCS. They told me, well, you don't have enough memory in it. You need to add an SD card to it. And I said, no, that's not the issue. I know a little bit about phones and computers and that. So I went on down to the Microsoft store, Sue at the Microsoft store, spent 45 minutes with me, and my Microsoft account needed to be updated for the OneDrive, and there were some issues there. Ended up having to reset the phone, but because I had everything stored up on the OneDrive, as soon as I came back on after resetting it, all my contacts came back, all my photos, everything.
Wonderful.
And I just can't say enough about the phone. I read a review of the Windows-based operating systems for the phones in the New York Times about 6 weeks ago, and they were saying that they're, technically speaking, the best phones out there, that they beat the Android phones and the iPhone hands down. And I just wanted to share that if you have any issues, don't go through your carrier. Just go on over to the Microsoft store.
Excellent.
And like I say, they'll be very happy to help you out with it. Best phone I've ever bought. And I owe it to you, Foster, because you tested one of them and you talked about it.
Yeah.
Great phone. Can't say enough. Yeah.
Good. I'm delighted to hear it. Larry, thank you so much for that. I appreciate a little. By the way, was that the Apple Store? Pardon me. Well, it's near the Apple Store. The Microsoft Store at in
Somerset.
Troy?
Somerset.
In Somerset.
Somerset, yeah.
Great place.
Somerset
Tim
Collection.
Tim Thews is the manager out there. Got a great group of people out there. And they have a genius bar themselves there to help you with anything you need. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it. And delighted to hear a satisfied customer out there as well for that. Let's go to Harry, who is with us in Port Huron. Harry, how you doing? And welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hey, guys. And we're going to put Jerry to work here.
All right. Jeff Price next to him. He can help, too. All right?
That's right. We'll put them both to work. I loved your demo of what you were doing with Windows Phone 8.1, but my question is, Is Narrator built into Windows Phone 8.1? I know it is into Windows 8.1, you know, regular Windows 8.1.
Well, guys?
Are you talking about the Narrator that just will speak the text?
Correct. It reads the screen to you.
Okay. No, to my knowledge, it's not in there now.
It's a screen reader you're looking for.
He's talking about on the computer here. Right. Narrator, basically, if you have vision...
You're visually impaired, right?
Visually impaired. Mm-hmm. It'll read what's on the screen. You know, we can blow it up bigger or whatever like that.
It's getting better and better, I can tell you that. On Windows 8.1, at least on a regular computer, it's getting better and better with Narrator. They've done a lot of great things. I'd love to see it in Windows Phone 8.1.
Oh, hang on.
I'll make that happen for you. Done. Listen. Actually, my colleague here just pointed out to me that it actually is
built into
8.1.
Yeah, it's on there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, now, what you were using, your phone, was that a touch screen or does it? Can I hook a keyboard up to that too?
It will take a Bluetooth keyboard, but this is a touch screen that you're using.
Wow.
It's a Bluetooth phone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a Bluetooth phone, right?
So you get to pick that. You get to pick. That's awesome.
Tell them quickly how you enabled it.
Yeah, so you go into the settings for the 8.1, and in there's a section called Ease of Access.
Yeah.
And that gives you the change the text size, as well as the contrast, the narrator, turn on and off. And basically, I just turned on the narrator and turned it off. So.
Good for you guys. Tell them that, tell headquarters thanks, because we were wanting that for years in Windows phones. Now we can use them.
Yeah, great. I'm glad to hear that, sir. Thank you so much. By the way, guys, is that the update?
Yes.
Let's get this clear, folks. If you have... No, we got to stop the narrator from...
Narrator's gone crazy.
Okay.
If you have a Windows phone right now, even a new model Windows phone, you may not be running this Windows 8.1 update, because this is actually an update to Windows 8.1. Am I right on that?
Okay, no. Here, to be really clear, we have Windows 8. 8.1 is coming out for phone.
Oh, okay.
Windows 8.1 phone is coming out. And that's up to your carrier. Right now, it is in the pipe to be delivered, meaning that if you're Verizon, they decide when they push it over the air. They say June, July, summer, they say.
However, Jerry.
However.
You just helped Shane.
Yes, I did.
And tell them what you did, Shane.
Oh, really? It's a lot simpler than I thought. I was going to hold off because I didn't want to spend the whole half a day to do it. But, I went to my store, Microsoft Store.
Right.
Downloaded the developer's app. Once the developer's app was downloaded, it literally took about 30 seconds. It asked me to sign into my Microsoft account, which I already had. If you didn't have one, you can create one through Outlook for free.
Right. Exactly.
Outlook.com for free. Mm-hmm. And then once that's done, you're just going to go to your system settings and Windows Update, and it'll search for that update. It'll start. But my phone needs a charge.
It took a bit of time.
Well, here's what it is. The name of the app is exactly Preview for Developers.
There you go.
Go to the store, Preview for Developers, install that thing, put in your Microsoft ID, go over to the regular settings, check for updates. It's easy as that.
This is a special gift to our Internet Advisor listeners, right?
Just make sure your battery is fully charged. If not, have it plugged in.
You should have it plugged in.
The amount of data that you have on your device will determine how long it takes to update it.
Because it migrates it. Beyond
that's
Wi-Fi.
What it is.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yes.
So if I could just ask a question. This is not production.
It is a beta. So what happens is it's the software version of the phone. The carriers will send out a hardware update. So they both come together. So this is like a pre-updated.
So, Jerry, if I go right now, for instance, I have a Windows phone. I go up there. I get the Windows developer's preview.
Right.
I put that app on my phone.
Right.
It will then I will be able to load this new operating system to the phone.
That's correct.
Now, what happens then when my carrier comes and says, okay, now I'm ready to give it to you? Well, have I followed something up doing that?
Your carrier will send down a package. If the package notices that you have Windows 8.1 operating system, it will not do anything. You'll be fine.
Okay. So you're not going to run. This isn't like jailbreaking the phone.
No, it's not jailbreaking.
Okay, good. I want to make that clear for folks. And by the way, we now pronounce you developers.
Yes.
Everybody can just go to the store, the Windows Phone store, and you can then download that app. And that the cool thing about all that coolness will then come to will it come to whatever Windows Phone device I have? Because I know, for instance, you're running the
HTC.
HTC.
Yes.
And you've got the latest one, Jeff, with the Lumia 1520.
It'll be based on the carrier. and what the carriers will support for that device.
But what happens, Foster, is all phones that run Windows 8 right now, they have the potential to run 8.1. The only caveat there is that there will be new phones with additional capabilities,
yes,
like Miracast, and it takes hardware changes and stuff, when you do wireless display and stuff. So
if you can, if you're at the point when with your contract where you're just about to change, maybe you want to hang on a little bit until those newer phones come out. Or if you can get your hands on a 1520, which is out there right now.
Beautiful
phablet, the big one, the 6-incher. Then our own Vanna White here.
That'll be my next phone.
We really have to go with a webcam. Between holding up the phone to the mic and these guys are all... You should have saw earlier, he was using the doodle portion... Doodle, but you know, the drawing the portion window, of the tablet. The guy was making some great pictures of Beetle Bailey over here. It was just great.
End of search.
All right, let's get back to our phone calls and welcome Warren from Chelsea. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. You know, Warren, we suddenly stepped into the break here. I'm going to put you on hold and we'll be right back with you, Warren, in just a moment after our break, and we'll be taking a call with him. We'll also be talking with Ben from Adrian and also with Pat from Toledo, Ohio, to wrap up our program here on the Internet Advisor. Well, once again, I'd like to thank our two guests from Microsoft who've made this a barrel of laughs. Jerry Carlson, thank you so much for being here, and Jeff Carmate, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate
it. Glad to be here.
My pleasure.
One of the things, Jerry, you wanted to say before we wrap things up is something important that's going to be happening in terms of this brand new Surface Pro 3.
Yeah. You know what, you guys? This is an amazing piece of hardware. Go into the store and check it out. But I would suggest that if you want to get your hands on one, we will deliver those on the 20th. You can pre-order them today. There is no money down, so it's no pressure. Just go in and give your name and email address, and you come in on the 20th and pick it up. If you don't want it on the 20th, you have some kind of a buyer's remorse or whatever, we won't force you to buy it. It's really no risk.
One of the things you're saying off mic here, and I think it's important, folks, that if you're interested in this, really interested in this, these things are probably going to sell out.
I'm pretty sure. It's a guessing game for me, but I see a lot of interest for my commercial customers.
Yeah.
More than they did before. So you know, they're interested in doing it.
And you know what I see a lot interest in is it's college. Kids are graduating.
That's
you know, they're, and they're going to take all that graduation money and they got to put it somewhere. You know, my son spent $800 on a great laptop, right? A Sony Vaio.
Robert.
He would have been much better off buying something like this.
Yeah, the money would be much better invested in something like that. Cal, you were going to say something snarky.
Yeah, is there a limit on the number of ones I can reserve?
Number ones?
How many can I reserve when I come in quantity?
For you, 100. There is no limit.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I've had a couple of my commercial customers, last week, ordered 100. Literally. So.
I can believe it. All right, let's get to our phones and to make sure we get all of our callers in here. Pat from Toledo, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Yes, guys, I have a Microsoft 8.1 computer, and I'm running a program for my business, which is Microsoft Outlook Web App. Mm-hmm. And just the other day, it was working fine for the since October of last year, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, when I go to answer a customer that sends me an email, mm-hmm. when I go to click on the paperclip icon,
yes,
the attach files web page dialog comes up too small. Realistically, if I was trying to read it, I can't even get to the browse buttons, and I certainly can't even find a button on it that where it says attach files to this email so you can send it out.
Sure.
And, you know, I would think it would be an easy question, but I've tried to move everything that I can think of to move, and it just doesn't get any bigger.
Okay, guys. Any thoughts on it?
Yeah, let's try a couple things real quick. What is your screen resolution by default? Not in the application, but if you just are on the desktop and you right-click and do screen resolution, tell me what that is.
If I right-click?
On the desktop.
On the desktop.
Okay, well, hang on. I was in the email.
Right-click on the desktop on Windows 8 should be giving you, in the desktop, at least, should give you an ability to see the resolution properties you're looking for, Jerry?
Yeah, resolution.
Yep. Right-click screen resolution.
Yeah, right-click screen resolution. And while we're doing that, maybe you can help in sense of...
Screen resolution.
Yeah, screen resolution. So what's your screen resolution? You see it?
1366 by 768.
What computer are you using?
I'm using a HP Envy.
Okay.
With, like I said, with 8.1 on it.
Yeah. If you see the display up there, does it say recommended? Because I think your resolution,
yes.
It does say recommended. Okay, because I'm not familiar with that one right there.
No, it's the same as my Lenovo. It's about the same size.
Okay.
Yeah, so. It's a 14-inch laptop, but I didn't want a real big one.
Okay, no, but this is something that hasn't happened all along. It started happening at some point, right?
Yeah, about a week ago.
Did anything else happen at that time? Was there an update that happened at
that
time?
To be honest with you, the only thing I can think of, because I spent half a day on with Microsoft's people yesterday.
Yeah, okay.
The only thing I can think of that changed was it used to come up with the tile screen first.
Yes.
And then it would go to what I'm associating with a Windows 7 screen when you click the button.
Yeah,
desktop.
The desktop.
Now it comes up reverse of that.
With the desktop
first. It starts up in the Windows 7 screen, and you have to click on the bottom left-hand corner to get to the tile screen.
Okay.
Right. That's by design, boot to desktop.
I understand that's what it's supposed to do, but that's what it. That's when everything started.
Okay, Let me try something real quick. When you're back on the screen that said the display properties, when you said it was 1366 by 768, are you there?
Got it.
See right there, there's three lines. One says make text and other items large and small. Can you touch on that for me?
Wait a minute. I'm trying to find it. I got
towards the bottom.
Towards the bottom.
I got the 1366 by 768.
Right.
And then you want me to
go
where?
Below that is orientation, and then below that is project to a screen, a second screen.
Oh, project to a screen. Okay.
Now the next one it says make text and other items large and small.
Oh.
Touch on that.
Click that.
Yep.
Okay.
So,
it says that the change the size of all items.
Okay. Does it say let me choose one scaling level?
Yes, it does.
Okay, and then what is it on right now? Small or large?
I gotta say it's small.
Okay, but so if you
you got a choice here between small or medium or larger. Which one is it?
It's small. Okay. I mean, it's all the way to the left.
Right. He's seeing a slide bar by default. That's what you'll see, and it's only when you change it that, and put the check in the box that you'll have the ability to choose small, large.
Right. So if you can try the medium or large, 125 or 150 should be it. I would change that because it's like a scaling problem right now, I believe.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to go to the medium 125?
Try it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
It's going to ask you to log off your computer and log back on, but then you do the same thing and launch that application. You'll see that they become bigger now.
And what I'm going to do, Pat, is I'm going to let you take a crack at that, and we'll put you on hold so that after the program we can get back in touch with you with that. I have a few other people that I want to make sure we get in before the end of the show, okay? So try that solution, and we'll have you on hold, and we can check that out as well. Ben from Adrian. Hey, Ben, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing fine, Foster. How about you?
We're doing very well. It's our friend Ben Carpenter for many, many years. How are you doing, Ben? It's good to have you on with us. Coming in from the fields?
I come in from the field, especially to listen to your show.
There you go. All right. What can we do for you, sir?
Well, I wanted to comment on that guy with the router.
Oh, yes, with the router issues. Okay.
I'm wondering if he has his Wi-Fi locked down with a password. And if he doesn't, he might be getting somebody from one of them close motels or hotels
jumping on,
you know, router instead of the hotel's router.
Yeah, and I thought of that, but so many of us wanted to comment, I didn't have a chance to interject to enable the security on the wireless router. Ben, thank you for reminding us of that.
God bless you, Ben, with common sense.
Wow.
That is such a good point that if you don't lock it down with a password, and many of us don't.
You'd be surprised how many
admin
people don't.
Or admin is our password, you know.
Well, my nearest neighbor is like 1,000, 1,200 foot, so I keep mine wide open.
But in his particular case, he's got these hotels around.
Yes.
You're right. And people in the hotels or motels are coming in for whatever their business may be.
And that's dangerous.
And they're sitting. Yes, it's not just inconvenient. It's
tricky.
Dangerous.
Yes, tricky subject.
Ben, God bless you for the common sense answer.
Thank you, Ben.
I've been in motels around, and I know that when you're in a hotel or motel that you can get several things pop up, and I usually take the one with the most bars, which is not always the motel one.
There you go. And that's a very, very good point. Ben, thanks so much for that chiming in, and have a great afternoon. Thanks, Ben.
Okay.
All right. Ben, for many years, is one of our favorite people in the forums, helping people out in there. Well, guys, thank you very much. Shane, Ed, and Cal, good to see you here. By the way, Cal's going to be gone for a little while, but you've got a post on our homepage at internetadvisor.net talking about Worldwide Developers Conference and some of your analysis of that.
Yeah, and I'll probably put some things out if they pop up during the time I'm out on the road. So we'll keep you posted.
And Eddie, thank you for your comments, by the way, on that Computech.
Excellent.
And you can see that again
in
the news. Jerry, thank you so much for being with us. Jerry Carlson and Jeff Garnet. Great
always
having
fun.
You guys in.
Always
what a
fun.
Ball. And we look forward to talking with you guys again in the future when something new comes up. My name is Foster Brown. Thank you so much for joining us here. Shane Hamlin, you as well. Don't forget. Your business is?
Comtech, Sterling Heights.
And Sterling Heights. Look for them there. See you guys next week.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally-produced computer show with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and their team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or to find the show notes for this podcast, visit www.internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.